July 13-19, compiled by Dave Humphrey from the archived newspapers held at the Cranbrook History Center and Archives. 1918. Killed by bull. A young rancher by the name of Fleetwood was butted to death on Saturday last by a bull which he was watering. The young man had taken the bull to the water trough to give him a drink. While the animal was drinking, the flies bothered him and young Fleetwood tried to brush them off. This enraged the bull, which turned and butted him, knocking him down and smashing 9 of his ribs, broke a thigh and otherwise maltreated him. The bull pushed him under the trough and before the wild animal could be subdued, he nearly did for the unfortunate young rancher. Dr. Green was called to attend him, but nothing could be done to save his life and he succumbed to his injuries about 10 hours after the unfortunate occurrence took place. The accident took place at Minnehaha Ranch. Howard Alfred Fleetwood was about 35 years old and single. The funeral took place to the Cranbrook Public Cemetery on Tuesday. The bull that has done so much damage to human life has been killed. Shot himself with own rifle. John Busk was found dead on the floor of his shack about 3 miles from town on Monday morning by his neighbor's daughter. Miss Lindquist went to the shack on Monday morning as usual to deliver the morning's milk. When she opened the door, she found Busk on the floor and apparently dead. She was startled at the ghastly spectacle and hurried home to tell her father what she saw. Mr. Lindquist phoned for Con. Kerr, who accompanied by Dr. Green, went out to see the body, and after satisfying themselves that it was not a case of murder, they had the body removed to F.M. McPherson's undertaking parlors. A jury was called together to hold an inquest on Tuesday afternoon, with Dr. Green as coroner. The jury consisted of W.E. Worden, foreman, John Armour, J. McDonald J. McLean, and John Manning and R.P. Moffat. After hearing the evidence, the jury brought in a verdict that the dead man had shot himself with a carbine on Sunday night. Despondency brought on by sickness that he was convinced would kill him before long is supposed to be the cause of this rash act. Deceased had $1,000 in the bank and $230 cash in hand at the time of his death, which will be sent to his mother who lives in Norway. Veterans return. Some notable old-timers are drifting back to town after having done their bit at the front. Among them we notice Dave Ferguson, who has been honorably discharged after having suffered for his country, Art Tracy, who lately blew in from the prairies, Jimmy Regan, who has blazed more trails, made more ties and hiked more miles than any other old-timer that we know of. Faster than the train. Mr. and Mrs. James Cameron, of Cranbrook, are spending a few days with the former's parents at Creston. They made the trip by horse and buggy and the Creston Review says they claim to have left home at the same time as the CPR Way freight and to have arrived in Creston ahead of it. Optimism builds up a good business. It's a good job that somebody is optimistic enough to feel that Cranbrook is not in the bad way that some people think it is. Kilby, the picture framer, has just purchased the building on Armstrong Avenue, familiarly known as the Old Market, next door to Patmore's, to accommodate his growing business. As soon as he can make the necessary alterations, he will occupy the premises. Cranbrook Chautauqua. A meeting of those interested in the success of the coming Chautauqua that will give a week's high-class entertainment here from August 16th to the 22 inclusive, was held in the City Hall on Monday afternoon with Harry White in the chair. Mr. LeMond, the Chautauqua representative, was present and outlined the program, which will be a most elaborate and interesting one. He emphasized the fact that there are several numbers on it of an inspiring patriotic nature. The program will undoubtedly be one that everybody should hear and see. Every number is a specialty of high class. Subscriptions, please. The Herald is this week sending out its accounts for subscriptions in arrears and we ask our subscribers to get on the honor roll. The paid in advance list. By return mail as we must have the money. It is our earnest desire to make the Herald a paper worthwhile reading, not only publishing the news of the district, but in helping as well to draw outside attention to our splendid resources. The weekly newspaper is an indispensable accessory to every live up-to-date town. In order to thrive, it must have the united support of the community in which and for whose interests it is published. The Herald is for Cranbrook and district surrounding. Are you for the Herald? If you are, let us mark up the label on your paper 1 year in advance. The cost of newsprint and other materials necessary for the production of a newspaper have enormously increased, but our subscription remains the same at $2 per annum in advance. In order to make two ends meet, it is absolutely necessary to have our subscription list paid in advance. Subscribers in arrears are therefore earnestly requested to respond at once to our appeal for the payment of these small accounts. Stop. Look, listen, look out for the cars. The post office corner is a very popular one for autos and may become dangerous if the increasing traffic is not regulated in some way. Correct day. Some people think it is up to them to do today what could be better done tomorrow and thereby make a mess of 2 days' work. It is a good plan to never try to do today what you ought to do tomorrow. On the other hand, it is unwise to put off until tomorrow what you ought to do today. Sufficient unto the day is the business thereof. Roofs fixed. If your roof leaks, get it attended to by W.J. Selby of Cranbrook. Old roofs of every description repaired and coated with improved asphalt cement and warranted tight. $1.50 for 100 square feet. Students successful. Word was received this week that Miss Pye's two pupils who tried their elementary theory of the Toronto Conservatory of Music, Miss Dora Pye and Miss Marion McKinnon, passed their exams, with first-class honors. Gone to Alberta, E. Rickman has gone to Drumheller, Alta, to help dig coal to keep the Winnipeggers from freezing to death next winter, so thought the Herald, but Eric said, "Not on your life, when I go underground it won't be to work." He goes over there as a sanitary expert. Go to it, Fred. A reader of the Herald says Fred Rue writes some great stuff. Thousands of people who read the Herald think the same way. Go to it, Fred, old boy, you're doing well. Our district correspondents furnish a very valuable part of the reading matter of the Herald, and we want every district around Cranbrook to send a breezy budget of news to the Herald every week. Sick in hospital. Norman McKenzie came in from Bull River on Saturday and is lying very sick over at the hospital. Dan McIntosh and James McNeil are sinking a shaft about a mile and a half west of Cranbrook on the Wycliffe. They have a good indication that they will run into a good ore chute. That's the kind of energy to show. It don't go to waste and is sure to bring results. It is the only way to prove that we have the biggest mining district in North America. Moy News. A man named McKay was badly hurt at the St. Eugene mine, Moy, last week. He was dumping ore when the brake rod of his car slipped and hit him a hard blow on the head. He was knocked insensible and when picked up was bleeding from the ears and nose. He was brought to Cranbrook Hospital and is now on the road to recovery. More fishers. Messrs. Clapp, Cooper, Mott and Jack Roy spent Sunday at St. Mary's Lake and brought back a nice batch of fish, including 2 6-pound char. A whole bunch of Lethbridge tourists and a carload from Wycliffe were also out there enjoying the sport. The beauties of the numerous lakes surrounding Cranbrook are just beginning to be realized. This is demonstrated by the numbers of tourists spending their holidays at these resorts. Under new management. The Star Shoe Repair Shop wished to announce to their many patrons that they have disposed of their repair business to the Cranbrook Saddlery Company, who will conduct the same in connection with their harness and saddlery business at their store, Van Horn Street, opposite the depot, where they will be glad to meet all their old customers as well as new, on and after August 1st Street. Farmers Institute. The meeting of the Farmers Institute last Saturday was attended by about 30 farmers, including visitors from Marysville and Wausau. Among others, representations were placed in resolution on the gopher pest, assessments, open free range for stock and herd regulations and adopted. A.B. Smith was elected delegate to the District Institute. The WI are fine workers. Their work is greatly appreciated by those who are at the front. The regular monthly meeting of the Women's Institute was held in the Parish Hall on Tuesday afternoon, July 2nd. A smaller attendance than usual was accounted for by the beginning of the holiday season. In absence of the president, the chair was occupied by Mrs. G. H. Thompson, vice president. The Secretary-Treasurer's report, as well as the report of the various committees, showed the funds of the Institute in good shape, generous donations having been made and a satisfactory balance on hand. The sum of $15.15 was collected in June for the purchase of wool for socks and $4.45 for the Prisoner's Bread Fund. The knitters are working steadily and the number of personal property bags coming in for sick and wounded soldiers is very encouraging. Word was passed along from a nurse in an English hospital telling how the boys appreciate these bags for their little personal belongings while they were ill, and the brighter the bag the more they seem to like it. A shipment of from 500 to 700 bags will be sent from Cranbrook Women's Institute during the coming week. Pamphlets were distributed from the Provincial Board of Health containing warnings of the dangers and also the means of prevention of three very prevalent diseases, measles, diphtheria and typhoid fever. A large proportion of the cases of these diseases could be prevented by the proper care of children and by isolation where case has already developed. Mr. R. E. Pao gave a very interesting address on education through play. The education of our children up to the age of 6 is almost entirely by play. After that, school studies begin with play in the kindergarten term occupying a large place. Gradually, play hours give place to work hours, but games and sports still are necessary and important. Our large cities are doing splendid work with their supervised playgrounds, and the training in healthful sport is invaluable to boys and girls who might otherwise easily find questionable outlets for their energies. The more care a town or city gives to the education of its children through play, the less trouble it will have with mischief-loving boys wrecking houses and making themselves generally troublesome to the community at large. A hearty vote of thanks was rendered to Mr. Pao for his address. The children provided the entertainment part of the program, which consisted of a piano solo by Miss Alma Sarvis, a pretty little flower dance by Mrs. Marguerite Caven and Zora McNabb, followed by the Sailor's Hornpipe as an encore. Miss Patricia McDermott gave the hunting dance, very effectively, also responding to an encore. These pupils reflect great credit on their teacher Mrs. Van Brom, who presided at the piano during the afternoon. The meeting closed with the singing of the national anthem.